sing that one more time.
Before you humbly tonight, Lord, seeking your face, longing to hear your word, to hear your voice speak to us again. Lord Jesus, you promised to be here among us. You promised to bring us together and to meet our needs, Lord. And so we come with great expectation, knowing that you, Father, you are so much more than our imagination can consider. We are so much more than our love, so much more than we can even express, Lord, that you are so great. You are so good to us, Lord. You take care of the little details, Father, the small things and the large things and just whatever we have need of. And sometimes we just stand amazed to see how you work among us, Lord, to see how you take care of us, how you love us. You take us through hard times. You don't take away the hard times, but you take us through them. And you're there with us during the good times, Lord. You just love us so much. So tonight, Lord, we come, like I mentioned, with great expectation, Father, knowing that you are going to be here to meet our needs if we would just open our hearts to you and just receive what you have for us, Lord. So we ask you now to come and make yourself comfortable. Just take your time, Lord, and speak to us, Lord. We welcome you here, Lord. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Amen. If we're just going to read one verse and then be seated in John 7 and verse 24. John 7:24. I hope everyone's doing wonderful. God's just been blessing with a few more days of really nice weather, and appreciate that. Get a little crisp morning sometime. Just say, hey, we're coming. So just appreciate it. John 7:24, Jesus is speaking. He says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You may be seated. Tonight I want to speak on the thought of judgment. And I thought I had one short Thursday night sermon on this, and it just is just blossoming all over the place. I don't know, maybe we can finish it on Sunday, we'll see. Because of that, I'm not exactly sure where to start, because all of a sudden all this stuff come to my mind and all these scriptures that I didn't see till just a few minutes ago. And so we're just going to dive in and see where we go. But anyways, I want to speak about judgment. And Jesus is standing here. He's saying, make sure you don't judge by appearance, but make righteous judgments. And let's just go over to James real quick, and we'll just pick this up there. James 2. There are not six chapters in James. Let's go to James, the second chapter, and start reading here. Don't judge by appearance, but judge righteous judgments. James 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are you not then partial in yourself, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Skip down to verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit a sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So, Judgment. First of all, let's just go to where the world looks at judgment. And if you make a moral judgment in this day, people say, stop judging. Who made you a judge? Have you heard that? I hear it. Oh, yeah. Because what is it? Ultimately, no one wants to be told they're wrong. And if I was sitting here and say, okay, this act is wrong, and someone over here is saying, well, if that's wrong, then what I'm doing must be wrong, then I'm going to get defensive and say, well, you can't judge people. Who made you the judge? Well, Jesus just told us to make righteous judgments. Didn't he? And yet he turns around and say, judge not that ye be not judged. So what exactly are we talking about? What are we? It's like Jesus said, make righteous judgments. All right? We have to know how to judge. Why do we have to know how to judge? Because brother and sister, one day we're going to judge the entire world. Ain't that amazing? Not just that, we're going to judge angels. That's right. That's what we're going to do, brother and sister. We're going to look at this more in depth. I'm just throwing these things out just to get started. Brother and sister, we need to make sure that we are learning how to judge now. And how do you do that? You don't judge by appearance. You don't judge by the person. You have to be an impartial judge. Just getting back to that thought. You know, people say, well, you're judging this person. You're judging that. You can't say if that's right or wrong. You know, Jesus didn't judge anybody. You know, they bring up remember they brought the woman to Jesus and said, you know, they said, we're supposed to stone her. She was caught in adultery. He said, well, which of you has no sin? Throw the first stone. See, he didn't judge at all, did he? No, he didn't. And so they all said, well, I've committed sin. They dropped the rocks and walked away. And the woman was sitting there by herself. And he looked at her and said, where are your accusers? She said, no man accuses me. He said, neither do I accuse thee. Neither do I condemn thee. And if they would have just stopped there, these people would be fine. But he didn't stop there. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Oh, now he got judgmental. Because he said it was wrong what she was doing. See, there is a right and wrong. There is a moral absolute. There are things that you know better to do and know not to do. But people don't want to hear that. You know what I think part of that is? I think it's those demons influencing them, knowing that judgment's coming, and you, as the bride, are going to judge those demons. You're going to judge those fallen angels. You're going to judge the people. But you have to be impartial, brother and sister. You have to be impartial. You cannot respect. Well, this is my family. No, you're not. But this person was really good to me. That's not it. You're going to stand there totally impartial. And brother and sister, that's one reason why I believe we're going through some of the trials and tribulations and things we go in this life is because we had to get rid of our idolatry in order for us to be impartial. Because if I look at my family, I look at my wife, I look at my kids, I look at my mom and dad, and I put them a little bit higher when it comes to some of these things, I'm going to not be impartial. If I love them more than I love the Word of God, if I love them more than I... Jesus was there, right? He was speaking, and they came to him and said, hey, Jesus, your mom and your brothers are here. And what did he say? Oh, well, hey, make a way. It's my mother. Goodness sakes, let her come in and have a seat. No, he never. He said, who are my brothers? Who is my mother? He said, those who do the will of my Father. He said, well, that's nice for him to say because he was Jesus. Well, brother and sister, when you get the mind of Christ, you're going to be saying the same thing. Otherwise, you're going to be impartial. You're going to be partial. You're going to respect. Now, listen, in this world, yeah, you're going to love your family more and all that. That's don't get me wrong on that, right? We're still human, all right? In this world, we're still human. We're still going to have favorites. But even if we have favorites, if you are still impartial, you're going to look at that person you love the most and make a righteous judgment even now. And that's something that we don't see very often. Just go ask any school teacher. Their kid can be a total hellion in class, and they're going to come to school and say, don't you do nothing to my kid. I'm going to defend my kid. He's mine. You don't do nothing. How dare you kick him out of class?
You're just a bad teacher. Oh, yeah. That's what people do. And the kids knowing it, knowing their parents are going to take this, their side against all authority, they end up shooting police officers. That's what we get. That's why our world is going down, because it's my family. You don't say nothing about my family. Blood is thicker than water. Not in hell, isn't it? No. It's not. So when we look at this, and James said, do not respect your person, like it's easy. Well, this is a rich person. We're going to respect them over a poor person. That goes more just money. This person has a high esteem. I esteem. You know, we look around the message and we see it a lot. The riches here might have to do with someone's last name. So all of a sudden, because they have a certain name, they have special privileges, or God's going to look at them different than he looks at someone with a different name. You remember Isaac and Esau? Esau was Isaac's favorite. Isaac loved Esau more than he loved Jacob. They were tight. Esau got the best Christmas present, so to speak. Right? Jacob hung around with his mom. Kind of a more sissified little boy. Esau was a man's man. Isaac liked him. He's my son Esau. He's my firstborn. So he was proud of Esau. God looked at his heart and said, I hate Esau. The prophet Isaac loved his lost son most. How do you know he's lost? Because he looked for a place of repentance. He couldn't find it. Ain't that something? Our human connection with each other, our families, and we're putting families because God is showing the types. It's showing us what, when he says, I'm your father, we understand. You're my children, we understand it. That's part of the reason we have families. And to raise our children and to understand what God's doing when he raises us and we train our children so we understand what God's training us is so that we understand the way he's dealing with us. But there's a purpose for this, brother and sister. The purpose that we have is, one of the purposes, there's a lot of purpose, but one of the purposes we have is to go through these trials, go through this child training, to be raised up. Why? To mold character, because your character is the only thing you're taking with you. Character is your strength. It's who you are. It's that sense of the righteousness within you. And if it's not molded, they say, well, if I'm born again, I'm ready to go. No, you're not. Jesus himself had to be trained. He had to be child trained. He learned obedience through what he suffered. So we go through these suffering, brother and sister, and what it's doing is training us, it's child training, so that when God has to trust your judgment, he can. I should read a lot more scriptures to make more foundation. Let's do that. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Let's turn to... Let's go to Revelation 20. That's just a good place to start. Revelation 20. And we're just going to read this whole chapter. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. We know what is that binding? It was bound by a chain of circumstances. It wasn't a law chain, but a chain of circumstances that he was put in a position where he had no influence anymore on the people on earth. Ain't that amazing? And they cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. For 1,000 years, the millennium, he's not going to have influence on earth. And I saw thrones and they sat on them, And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So this is the great millennium, the 1,000-year period when the bride and groom are together and the rest of the people on earth. And it says they were given thrones and they sat in judgment. This is not the great white throne judgment. That's after this. We're going to get to that. This is in the millennium where Christ is going to rule with the rod of iron, and you as the bride are going to sit with him in judgment and rule the world. Think about that. He has to make sure you have a character that he can trust your judgment. I have no idea what this is going to look like. No clue. And if someone says they do, I'm skeptical. All right? There's things about this that it just blows my mind when I try to put it together. I can't figure it out. And I'm glad, because I don't want to figure it out. I just want to go and get there and find out what it's like firsthand. Right? But brother, sister, we're being trained now. Our character is being molded now. So we're going to sit there and judge and rule the world. Isn't that amazing? I think so. Do you feel worthy of that? Well, no, I don't either. If you did, I'd be a little worried. But that's not where it ends. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years was finished. This is the first resurrection. This is what Paul said. I want to take part in that first resurrection. We come up in that first resurrection, brother and sister. That's the bride. We all want to do that, brother and sister. Don't sit there, lay in the grave wherever for 1,000 years waiting for judgment to come. I don't want to be there. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, in which the second death hath no power. That means what? Brother and sister, once you're there, the second death, there's no way. You're going to live. You have life. You're a bride. You got eternal life as of then. All right? Well, actually before that, but you're going to have it. There shall be priests of God in Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're going to reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So after 1,000-year millennium, a wonderful 1,000 years of peace where we're reigning and there's no sin, there's no nothing, and then Satan's going to be loose and he's going to go and influence a mass of people on earth who aren't the bride. And they're going to be given a choice. And you know what the problem is? You say, how could they turn against God after all that time living there peacefully, happily, everything going right? How can they turn? How does Lucifer turn against God in heaven? Things are pretty good there in heaven for Lucifer. But until iniquity is found in the heart, brother and sister, these people are going to be seduced, going to be deceived by Satan again. He's going to come out and he's going to preach to them something. He said, you know what? You've been having to do what he tells you all these times. Look at these people that call themselves a bride and sit there and they make you follow the rules and you got to go to church, you got to do all these things. Don't you just chafe under that approach? You know, you got to follow, you got to do what they want you to do. You got to follow these rules. You got to, why don't you do what you want to do? And he's going to convince them to turn and fight against God. It just blows my mind. But God's going to destroy them with fire. And then, and verse 10, and the devil and that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. My, don't go there. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne. Now we're coming to the great white throne judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And the dead and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now this is the great white throne judgment. So after the millennium, a thousand years, then Satan's going to come up and deceive the masses of people on earth. There's going to be a great war, the last great battle. God's going to destroy him, and then all are going to be resurrected to stand the judgment. Where are you going to be during that time? Very important. Let's find out. According to the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. I should have read some of this earlier before I got to speaking, but that's okay. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law against the before the unjust and not before the saints? He's saying, when you have a problem with someone, why are they going to get someone else deal with it? Why don't you just take care of your problem among yourself? Now, let me put it this way. There are certain things where it comes to, like, enforcing laws and safety and things like that. You need to go to the judges and stuff. Go to the system that's set up. Because the Bible also says these people are put in place to keep peace. All right? So there are some times when you might go to court. But he's saying that there's situations where there's a problem amongst you. Handle it yourselves. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? So we have a problem with this. Though this brother, hey, he's not being fair or whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to come up with an idea. But he said, why don't you recognize that we are going to judge the world and we can't get along with each other? We can't judge righteous among us. We can't say, you know what, brother? I don't care if you are my son, if you are my dad, if you are, you're wrong. But what do? We take, well, it's my family. It's my family against everyone else. That's where we get in trouble, brother and sister. He said, why would you take your family if your family is wrong? Reminds me of politics. There are countless people who would give anything to see Hillary Clinton elected. They don't care how much she's a liar, how criminal her activity is. They don't care about anything. That they just overlook that. I want her elected president. And a lot of people are doing the same with Donald Trump. They are. They don't care what his past is. They don't care about this. I want this. I want this person. I want it this way. That's the same thing we see in our churches, brother, sister, among ours. We have problems come up here, and that person did wrong, but that's my kid, so I'm not going to say anything, but I'm going to stick up for him. It's amazing. Your human family has so little to do with your salvation, but it'll sure get you to hell. Yes, it will. How many people are going to hell, already gone there, because they could not break that bond with their human family? And they say, well, my family's, blood's stronger than water, or whatever. Yeah, whatever. Your human blood is stronger than the blood of Jesus Christ, is what you're saying. Boy, don't be that person. Well, it's my family. You got to stick up for your family. If we still have that attitude around here, what has happened the last 17 years? Oh my goodness, I hope that's gone. I don't know why I'm preaching on it then, if it's gone. Verse 3, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. The least esteemed in the church. Well, I don't know what brother so-and-so says. Well, I don't know, brother. Well, who's the least esteemed among us? Let them be the judges. Ain't that something? Well, I don't know. I got to have brother, you know, what does brother so-and-so say about this? He ain't even in this church. How many times over the years, especially a long time ago when we were in Pond, but people, well, I wrote a letter to Rebecca Branham to see how Brother Branham says about this. So I wrote a letter to some of the Branham family. I said, you had a pastor, such as he was, but we had a pastor, and God used him till it's time for him to go. See how twisted we were? I hope we got some of that untwisting done. Judging, righteous judgment, brother and sister. Let's go to John 5. Read some more on this. Tell us who we are. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That word condemnation, the word is actually judgment. Shall not come into judgment. See, he said, he that heareth my word, that's not just with your physical ear. That means you recognize it's the voice of God speaking. And believeth on him that sent me. A lot of people hear the voice of God. They'll say, I know God is dealing with me. I know God says something. But you know what? But I just can't do that. But what you have to do is believe that it was God who actually spoke. Because if you really believe it was God that spoke to you, there's no way you walk away. Not if it's a revelation. Because brother and sister, when God speaks to you, you recognize that was God speaking and you turn your back on that. Yet people do. I don't know how. Their pride. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Hey, already have it. And pass from death and life. You will not come to judgment. You're not going to stand in the white throne judgment. You have been judged now. Judgment starts at the house of God. And brother and sister, when you come to church and the word comes and it brings and it exposes the sin in your life, it isolates it, and you know it's speaking to you personally, and you sit there and you say, I know that's for me. I repent. You are standing in judgment now. Hallelujah. How much greater to do it now than there. You are going to stand judgment. Do it now. Let the judge come and say, you're wrong. You're wrong. Repent. Do that now. Because if you don't, one day you're going to stand there and that judge is going to point his finger and say, you're wrong. Oh my, we don't realize how amazingly awesome it is that we can stand judgment now. But it hurts my feelings. Hallelujah. You think your feelings aren't going to be hurt at the white throne judgment? But it exposes. I mean, Brother Jerry preaches something and everyone knows he's preaching at me. Let me tell you something. At the white throne judgment, your whole life is going to be played out in front of everybody. All right, take what you want. You'll be humiliated a little bit here, or you want the whole world to see you. You get your choice. My goodness, you know what? It's pride. That's all it is. It's just pride. Satan's the father of it. We don't want to be humiliated. We don't want it. We want our own way. We want to do things the way we want. We want our way. And it's not our way anyways. It's Satan's way. You never had an original thought. You never had an original idea. Well, this is what I want. Guess who influenced you? One of two beings, God or Satan. Right. So you can bypass judgment now and get it later. You can stand judgment now and bypass it later. Because he says, hath everlasting life. Well, once if you have everlasting life now, you already are born again. You have God's life in you. If you have it now, what's the point of going to judgment? Because let me tell you, that judgment is life or death. There's no, I don't believe in the death penalty. All right? It's death penalty or it's eternal life. Think of this. When you're standing there in judgment, Brother Paul, you're going to stand there and you're going to be passing judgment. This person either goes to eternal life or they go to hell. Well, you better know what you're doing. You better know what you're talking about. You better have the character of Christ to stand there and pass righteous judgment because you're sending him to heaven or to hell. Literally. Literally. Oh, but I don't believe in capital punishment, God. I don't think it's right for you to kill people. No, it's too late now. Gets pretty serious when you look at it this way, doesn't it? But if you will be born again now, stand the judgment now, wow. will not come into the judgment. That's what Jesus Christ said. You will not stand there in front of the white throne and have all your life played out and be judged. No, because you've already stood it. You've already been given eternal life. And you'll stand there in the throne judging. How's that going to look? I have no idea. I look at that, I read it, it says, okay, all these people are going to come up, right? First of all, time's going to absolutely not be in existence at that time, because to go through all the billions of people, it's, you know, humanly, you know, look at that, well, how is that possible? I have no idea. And then it says, we're going to stand in judgment, but the books are going to be opened. And then also the book of life, another book. So what are all those other books that are going to be opened that are not the book of life? Maybe it's all the people who aren't in the book of life. There's still going to be a record of them, Brother Branham said. There's a record of them. Maybe it's these other books. And they say, these people were not found in the book of life, but here's their life, and this is why they're going to hell. But if your name is found in the book of life, you're going to be given eternal life. Not because you had it now in this life, because if you have it now in this life, you're not going to stand in the judgment. That makes sense? You'd be a judge. But people are going to come up, and they're going to open the book of life, and there are going to be people on there whose names, and we'll get to this Sunday probably, whose names were put in the book of life, and they remained, and there's going to be people come up whose names were in the book of life, and they were taken out. Wow. So who are these people who are going to still be in there? We'll get to that Sunday. Yeah, let me get back on over here. Let's keep reading here. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it shall live. Now, he's not talking about the people in the grave dead right here. He's talking about people like us, dead in sin and trespasses. We come to this earth dying. Without a new birth, you come dead. You're a dead man walking. Because, brother and sister, without a new birth, you're going to die and go the wrong place. But he said, the dead will hear the voice of God, and hearing it, they shall live. That's what we're doing tonight. Hopefully, you're hearing the voice of God speak, and you know it, and you're accepting it, and you're going to live. You're going to pass from death unto life. I hope that's already happened for you. If it is, you're going to keep recognizing the voice of God, because the voice of God is going to keep bringing more life, and it's going to keep changing you, and it's going to bring you to a place where you're ready for that millennium. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. How does he have life? It's in the Word. That's why the Word is so important. That's why you have to hear the Word, and not just the rhema, not just the written word of what's spoken, but it has to be the voice of God speaking that word. And hath given unto him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, it says all that are in the grave will come forth. Now, that is not you and me. This is right before the white throne judgment. We've been alive for over 1,000 years. Sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? But this is real. This is reality. It sounds like a fairy tale. How do you, you're talking all this crazy stuff that you see like superheroes and fairy tales and they live happily ever after kind of stuff. Where do you think they got all those ideas from? It's all right in here to begin with, brother and sister. There's nothing new under the sun. There's not a new superhero. There's not a new whatever they come up with. It's all been done before. It's all been said. The ideas are all there. It just boggles my mind that this is actually real. And we are so close. We are so close. How soon? I don't know. What if it's a year away? What if it's 5 years? What if it's 6 weeks? Either way, it's close, brother and sister. What if you knew for sure that the rapture was going to happen 6 weeks from tonight? How different would you live your life? Shouldn't be much different. Except for like planning things. You got to plan. You got to, you know, keep doing the stuff you got to do. One day we're going to see those saints. And then we're going to know it's very, very close. You look around and it just seems like the world, the systems, everything, it's just straining like a giant rubber band or balloon, and it's just ready to burst. Doesn't it seem like that? Mm-hmm. The economy is just ready to burst. The moral situation just ready to burst. All these things, they've just gone crazy. You know, I was talking about insanity. You know, there's some university, I don't know what university it is, but they decided that they are going to do away with gender-specific restroom or bathrooms in their dormitories at this university. So all the college kids, the guys and the girls, they all share the same bathroom. And the problem came up, they found at least two different situations where they found the guys with their cell phone on video over the top of the shower, videoing the girls taking showers. Oh, this ain't gonna work. Who'd have thought they would have done that? It's insane. So they had to go back to the old-fashioned way. They make specific gender shower bathrooms. So if you felt the need for privacy, you could go and use your own. The world's insane, brother and sister. It's insane. Let me move on here. I think I'm going to try to just end pretty quickly. How are you going to stand there and see a loved one, maybe someone you worked with, maybe someone in your family, maybe someone you went to church with, and pronounce judgment against that person? He said, Brother Phil, I could not send a family member to hell. And I said, I couldn't either. There's no way. There's no way. I couldn't do it. I said, God, I can't do it. I mean, no. Put him in prison, do something, you know, whatever. But not to hell. I mean, this is permanent. But here's something that we need to keep in mind. That the mind of Christ is going to be in us so fully that you'll be able to do it. Remember when Brother Branham went beyond the other dimension? He saw all those people. He said millions of them. And they were all coming to there, hugging and saying, our precious brother. They're all hugging him, our precious brother, just one after another after another. He saw Sister Hope coming. Remember? And he said, oh, now she's going to say Brother Bill. She's going to say something different. And so he's just watching her come and just waiting for her. She gets up there and she says, our precious brother. Why did he want her to say Bill? Because see, he was still in his human mind. He still did not have the full understanding of what was going on. Because that voice said, you gathered to your people. He said, are you all these Branhams? See, he's still thinking humanly. My people is Branhams. But brother and sister, you get that mind of Christ, and those people had it over there, and they recognize that your people are not your human family. When Jesus said that, who are my mother and my brothers? He wasn't just saying some nice idea, let's, you know, try to attain it. No, this is something that you will literally come to. When you say my brother and my sister, it's not talking about, well, the people who are born to the same human parents of yours. Now you say, well, right now I don't really have that. No, I don't think any of us do. Because we form relationships and close contacts, and we grow up with people and we get to know them well, and people mean more to us than other people. But once we get there, it's not going to be that way, brother and sister. Just get there. And she, and he wanted her to say, Brother Bill or Bill or, you know, I something make it a little more personal. And it wasn't nothing personal, more personal. He said, my precious brother. And she walked on. You say, well, I don't think I really want it to be that way. Well, I'll promise you this. Once you get there, if you have a complaint, you can lodge it. And I also promise you, you're not going to have any complaints. You're going to be just happy. Everything's going to be just fine the way it's set up. Amen. You will be no partiality. There'll be no one person big. Well, they got this person. They're going to be different levels. They're, you know, the leaders are going to be there and all that. But everything's going to be this. Everyone's going to have the same respect. Everyone's going to have the same equality or whatever it is that people are trying so hard to get this these days. There's not going to be any of that. You're going to be impartial. And so some of the things we're going through now is to get us to that place, brother and sister, to get us to that place where we can stand there and look at that person in the millennium at the judgment and say, yeah, they their life has played out. They were a pretty bad person. They didn't believe in God. They didn't do a lot of stuff. But you know what? Stop. Right here, they done something for me. Lord willing, Sunday we're going to find out why people are given eternal life who are not born again. Because according to the Bible, they should go to hell. But there's going to be many of them are given eternal life. They're called the foolish virgin. They're going to come up and you're going to stand there in judgment and you're going to say, I want this person to have eternal life. How's that going to work? I have no idea. No idea. But you're going to stand there in judgment and you're going to give them life. Now that would be awesome. Put yourself in the person's shoes right now. Your life is playing out and you know you came up and you're standing in the judgment and you know that you are not a Christian. You might have thought you were. You might have gone to church. You might have done whatever. But you've come up now, and reality has struck you. And you realize, I am not a Christian. I was just a church member. And that church member was part of the beast system. I was totally deceived. And then someone I knew in life steps forth from the throne and say, Father, this person was a comfort to me on earth. I ask for their life. You will do that impartially. You'll do that fairly. It will not be influenced by your personal likes or dislikes of that person. It might be someone that you don't even like in this life. It's true. They might have done something that you didn't even realize it in this life. But it's going to play out there and you're going to step up and say, they've done that for me. This judgment is going to be an amazing time for those of us in the bride. It's going to be a horrible time for some. It's going to be an incredibly glorious time. Can you imagine when you sit there, you hear those words, I give you life. If this, what I'm talking about, makes you feel like you're something special or like, woo, boy, I'm going to judge. You better be nice to me. Please go get born again. Because if this doesn't make you help realize the responsibility you have to be Christ-like now and then, you have to be like Christ, otherwise you're going to mess this up. It's so much more, you know, living for others, right? Eternal life is living for others. It's so much more that, well, I'm going to do something for him, I'm going to do something for him. It's not it. You can do something for people all day long. Mother Teresa done stuff for people all day long. I hope she gets life. She's not going to get it as a bride because she rejected Christ. She done a lot of good things for a lot of people. But did she do anything for Christ? That's the question. And so me going out, well, I'm going to do stuff for people. That's not it. But if I can live a life of humility, which is the hardest thing in the world to do, and love, real love, impartial love, that people can see it and respect it and honor it, they might get life. How's this all going to work out? Like I said, I have no idea. I can only tell you what the Word says. I don't know. But if there's any way possible that I can live a life that people will be given life because of the Christ in me, my, what a responsibility. It's time for me to get over myself. It ain't about me. This life is not important. Can you imagine if you... No, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there. Let's stand. I think as we go on in this life and the preaching, and we realize more and more who we are and what we've been called to and the responsibilities and what it really means to be a Christian, and it just is amazing, isn't it? My, it's just not what I used to think it was to be a Christian. You just follow a bunch of rules and you believe in some doctrines and you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and then you go to heaven. That ain't what it's about at all. It's about imparting eternal life. Mercy is in the bride. Why? Because Christ, you have to get to Christ to get life, and Christ is in the bride. And then I'm going to get upset with somebody over some piddly little thing that doesn't matter because they hurt my feelings? Oh my goodness, what are my feelings? What are my feelings? Why is that so important to me? I'm going to get an attitude, go pout, or I'm going to go get mad and yell at you and scream at you or argue or fuss because you hurt my feelings? Oh, take a hammer and just bust your feelings wide open, brother and sister. Ask yourself, is it really that important? Because on Judgment Day, that person gets life or death because of your feelings? You know, brother, I'm back to it, I got to say. You know, Brother Branham said he's going to be held accountable for all those people he didn't go and preach to. How many people are you going to be accountable because they didn't see Christ in you? Because you are too selfish. Because you wanted your way. My. Lord Jesus, this is a great subject you've opened up to us this evening, Lord, and just barely got started, but I just feel led to stop right now and just pick it up Sunday if you would lead us that way. Lord, I just ask that you would help the word that came forth, just let people ponder on it in a spiritual place, not just in their emotions, but to let it sink down and see what really is going on in their own lives and what needs to be changed, Lord Jesus, so that we can become more like you. We can be the impartial mind of Christ that you need us to be, Lord. Watch over us as we go from here, Lord. Keep us safe. Keep us in a right attitude, Lord Jesus, and just always seeking more of you, Lord. Bless the ones who aren't here tonight. We just ask you to bring us all back together on Sunday, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Soon and very soon.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see. Oh, soon and
this one more little announcement. The special services are coming up. I hope you all remember that. And we are actually going to give Brother Jerry we're going to honor him for his service here. And we have a little book. We would like you all to write something in it. And I have it right now. I don't know if I'll get it done tonight, but I'll get it back here at least Sunday and pass it around. Think about it before you write in it. Just don't splash something down. All right? Stuff like this really can be such encouragement. All right? Feel led by the Spirit before you put your pen to it, all right? That's why I don't know if I'll be done with it tonight or not, but I'll bring it Sunday if I can. All right? Appreciate you. Love you. You guys are great. I'm serious. God bless. You'll see you Sunday. Soon.